Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about a different way, and I just can't get away from it. And so I didn't intend for this to be a little mini-series, but I'm going to do one more message on that today, and if the Lord leads, I'll do another one. But if he doesn't, I'm going to cut it off, and we'll just move on to something else. But we're talking about doing the things that Jesus did so that we can do the things that Jesus did. And we want to take a look at his lifestyle, the lifestyle of Jesus, not his commands, but his lifestyle today. Because he came to show us what it was like to be human. He wants us to know what it's like to be a man or a woman in relationship with God. And he came to teach us how to live. Amen? And so these are some disciplines and some practices, if you will, that Jesus lived in his lifestyle that are meant to teach you and I how to live our life in Jesus' name. And so I want to, I'm going to give you several verses today, and I hope that they, Miss Shelley got them on the screen with me, right? And we're going to try to get that in there. It was kind of a rushed moment trying to finish this up. And so anyways, I love the scripture that says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, we're at a crossroads. It's about acknowledging that there is this wide road that leads to destruction with a broad gate, but there's also this narrow road. It's a small road, and it has this ancient path, or a different way, if you will, but it's a good way. And if you go this way, you'll find rest for your soul. And even though it looks like everybody else is going the broad way, it's the different way that Jesus is calling us to. And that Jesus is inviting us to this different way. And it's filled with these practices and these disciplines that Jesus himself modeled for each and every one of us. You see, last week we talked about the practice of prayer, right? And we've said that prayer was just talking with God about this life that we're living together. And that prayer is not something that God demands from us, but it's something he's inviting us to and that he longs to have with us. And that practice leads us perfectly into the practice that I want to talk to you today about. And so I'll get into that in just a minute. So we see at the beginning of Jesus's ministry that he's baptized by John the Baptist. And when he's baptized, the scripture tells us that the heavens opened up and the Spirit descended upon him. And God declares, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately after this moment happens, I want us to understand that Jesus went into the desert and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Let's look at the scripture here. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil after, everybody say this with me, fasting. All right, 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so we see in this story that Jesus was baptized. He goes right into the desert. He's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of that experience, we see that Satan comes to him and he tempts him three times. If you continue reading the story, you'll find that there was three times that Satan tempted Jesus. And all three times, Jesus finds victory over that temptation. After 40 days of fasting, 40 days and 40 nights, it says later on in that scripture, it says, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him. Now catch this. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now see, that's amazing because Jesus is in the desert. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And you would think that after being fasting for 40 days and 40 nights that he would be at his weakest, right? But Satan comes and he tempts him. But in that moment, we find out that fasting didn't make Jesus weak. It actually made him stronger. And he fasted the food so that he could be filled with the Spirit of God. And when Satan tells him in that scripture, he says, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. In that moment, what he's doing is Jesus is reminding us that we're not sustained by the things of this world. We're sustained by God himself. and that we're sustained by the Word of God, the grace of God, the Spirit of God. And Jesus is declaring that our life is not about the physical, but it's about the spiritual. Amen? And so he finds this incredible victory over Satan, and he says, it says there that he came back in the Spirit. Man, that's powerful to me. And he starts his ministry almost with this declaration that he's saying, you know what? This ministry is not going to be done in the flesh. It'll only be done in the Spirit. And we see that for 3 years, we watched Jesus walk in the power of the Spirit. He destroys the works of the devil. He demonstrates and he declares what the kingdom of God is like for us to see. And then at the end of his life, we see where Jesus goes with the disciples and they go and they have the Last Supper. And I don't know if you've ever caught this or not, but the Last Supper is the last time that Jesus eats until he's resurrected. Okay? So after the Last Supper, he fasts all the way from then until the resurrection. And after he has this Last Supper meal with the disciples, he takes them to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's where they're going to go, and they're going to pray together. Now, Jesus is going there because he knows what's ahead of him. He knows the cross. He knows the trial. He knows that this is the first time that in history that he's going to be totally separated from Father God. And it's if it's possible, he says, Father, let this cup pass from me. But nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done. And 3 times he prays this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he comes back to the disciples and he says to them, it says, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he says to Peter, are you really asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Now catch this. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, he comes back to the disciples. They're sleeping. And he says, hey, guys, the spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. In other words, what he's saying is that your flesh has not been trained to live up to the spirit that's within you yet. You see, your spirit, you know, their spirit was willing. I mean, it was only just a few short moments before this that the disciples, they were declaring, Jesus, I won't deny you. I'll even die with you. And then we see that their spirit was willing, but their body was weak, and their body hadn't been trained to live up to the desire of their spirit. And so they quickly fall into that temptation. And we see that when Jesus was arrested, that they did the things they said they wouldn't do. They denied him and they betrayed him and they ran away. But because Jesus had fasted, he was willing and he was able to submit and to surrender. And I think that it's amazing that Jesus starts his ministry and he ends his life with the practice of fasting. And if Jesus did that, well, then don't you think we need to do that even more? And so now I know that the moment that I told you guys that we're going to be talking about fasting, I lost about 90% of you. Because all of these practices that Jesus did, you know, fasting probably feels like the most ancient, probably the most irrelevant, or even maybe the most religious. And like for most of us, the extent of our fasting is whenever we have to do some blood work, or we got a test coming up, we have to fast for 24 hours, and boy, do we ever complain about that 24 hours, like, man, that was brutal. But that's the extent of fasting for most of us. But if you'll look throughout Scripture, you'll find that the people of God, from the very beginning to the very end, people fasted. Moses, let's look at him. Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God. He was sustained by God and God alone. No food, no drink, no nothing. For 40 days, the presence of God kept him alive. Elijah, he feasted on the bread of life, or the bread of heaven, it says, and then he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Take a look at Daniel. Daniel fasted, and he found the favor of the king. Nehemiah, he fasted, and he found the favor of the king. Let's see, Esther, she fasted. She found the favor of the king. Are you seeing something here? You catching this pattern? See, it seems like somehow with fasting, it brings with it the favor of the king. the whole entire city of Nineveh, whenever Jonah came back and he preached that message of destruction and repentance, well, they repented and they fasted and they changed their destiny. The Jewish people fasted regularly throughout the Bible as a way of life. And so the disciples, they were Jews themselves, and so they were familiar with this part of that lifestyle. And then we see it all throughout the New Testament church as well. And even though it seems like it's an ancient path that might feel irrelevant, there's so much that we can learn from this practice. And if your flesh is like mine, it's probably already saying, I don't think I'm even interested in this practice. Well, if that's you and you're saying that, well, then this is probably the one you need to be interested in. Amen? So we say, what is fasting? Fasting is simply abstaining from food to seek God. And it's choosing to say, I don't want to hunger and thirst after the things of this world. I want to hunger and thirst for God. I want to bring my flesh into submission to my spirit. So I want to deny myself the things of this world so that I can make room for the things of God. And Jesus talks about fasting in the Sermon on the Mount, which is the greatest message ever preached, teaching us what the kingdom of God was like, didn't he? And he says in there, he's in the Sermon on the Mount, there's this caption. It says, when you fast. And I want you to see that this is very important for us, okay? It says, when you fast. This is not a command, but nor does Jesus dismiss it either. But it's an invitation from God, but it's not a command. We don't have to do this for God. No, what this is about opening up myself to the grace of God, entering into the practice with God to experience Him in deeper ways. How many of you want a deeper experience with God? This practice is for you. Tricked you into that one, didn't I? Got an amen, and now I'm like, I got an oh no. So when you fast, what's happening? Okay, you're figuring out that you're not sustained by the things of this world, but you're sustained by God Himself. You're figuring out that in that moment that you're sustained by the one who holds everything in the palm of His hands. And so Jesus is saying, He's saying, I'm the one that sustains you, not the things of this world. And sometimes you have to abstain or stay away from the things of this world so that we can be reminded that your life comes from above. It comes from God Himself. The scripture says, and your Father sees what is done in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So what is the reward for fasting? There's breakthrough, there's freedom, there's victories, but I want you to know that the real reward of fasting is more of God Himself in your life. The Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you, right? Well, that's the heartbeat of fasting. And here's what happens in fasting for this different way of life that we're talking about. When you're fasting, what you're doing is you're bringing your flesh into submission to your spirit. And that's what's happening in that very moment. Yeah, bless you. You're practicing choosing what is good over what I want. Like when I choose fasting from this cheeseburger, I'm practicing denying myself now so that I can deny my anger later. Whenever I'm fasting this lunch, what I'm practicing is denying myself now, not doing what I want to do now, so that I can deny my flesh with that lust later. When I'm fasting that whole day or whatever you're fasting, what I'm doing is I'm choosing to deny myself and choosing what is good over what I want so that I can choose to deny my pride later. Because we've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks. If I want to do the things that Jesus did, on the spot, I have to do what Jesus did behind the scenes. And the problem is that when we get on the spot and we're convinced, we're just going to be able to deny that anger. I'm on the spot. I'm going to deny that anger. Or I'm going to deny that lust. Or I'm going to deny this pride. And I'm going to deny this self-control, this judgment, this resentment, bitterness, frustration, anxiety, depression, fear, all of these things. Like, I'm just going to deny it. Well, I want to ask you, like Dr. Phil would, how's that working for you? Okay? Well, we all know that this is why Paul says in the Bible, he says, I cannot do the things I want to do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. Like, what's going on? You know, the problem is that we never practice behind the scenes denying our flesh. So that when we get on the spot, in that on the spot moment, we can't walk in the Spirit because we've not been trained to live by the Spirit. We've been trained to live by the flesh. And so fasting is very strategic, okay? What it is it's choosing to say, I'm going to fast today from something that I want, something that I crave that's probably not even that significant in life, so that whenever I get into the realities of my life, I'm practicing saying no to the flesh so that I can walk in the Spirit then. In fact, this is why Jesus says, I believe, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Well, here's a good question for you. How do you practice denying yourself? If it's one of the conditions of actually following Jesus, deny yourself and pick up your cross, how do you practice that? Well, I can tell you, I don't know how to practice denying yourself in the area of obedience and holiness and purity, his will, not my will type thing, without first practicing denying your flesh in the area of food. You see, that's something that I can take authority over to say practicing is, I got to say no to what I want so that I can say yes to what is good. Does this make sense? Okay. I mean, think about it like this. Okay, get ready, okay? Think about how much of your life is actually arranged around satisfying the cravings of your flesh. You say, what is my flesh? Okay, well, let's work that out first. Your flesh is yourself without God. So think of all the desires, the needs, the wants, the comforts, the compulsions, the appetites that we spend our whole life trying to satisfy. It's like, if I desire it, well, I just get it. If I want it, I take it. If I have an appetite for it, I satisfy that craving. If I have a compulsion for it, I fulfill that compulsion. So how much of our life is actually arranged around satisfying the cravings of our flesh? And this is why you see whenever you see the flesh come out when we say things like, oh, I just need that Starbucks, or I'd love to go to Sonic and get me a Dr. Pepper, or I just need some chocolate, or I need to go to Brahms and get that ice cream. Okay, now there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but think about how much of your life revolves around satisfying the cravings of your flesh, your wants, needs, compulsions. And we go and we satisfy those things. And in fact, if you can, think about this. Think of how much you use food to comfort and to numb the pain in your life. We satisfy our flesh with these quick comfort to cover up the pain of our soul. And in fact, when we talk about our obsession with food and overeating, did you ever just stop to think about it? I know I have because I'm in that boat. Did you ever stop and think the reason that we do that is because we're led by the flesh and not the Spirit? And the flesh is loud and it's demanding and it's controlling. And the flesh is not going to stop screaming in your ear until it either gets what it wants or it's crucified. There's only two options, okay? I mean, look at what John says. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. You see, cravings of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. These are the three categories that sin falls into all the way from Genesis to Revelations. It's the same human struggle that we've had from the very beginning. And if you go all the way back to Eve in the garden, here's the problem. Eve was fasting from God and feasting on the world. All right, see, Eve was told that she was not to eat the fruit from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And it says in that scripture, it says, when she saw the food was good for eating. Okay, so she saw the food was good for eating. There it is, cravings of the flesh. Appealing to the eyes, it says. There's the lust of the eyes. It says, and desirable for gaining wisdom, the pride of life. She took it and she ate it. And instead of fasting from the world and feasting on God, she feasted from God and fasted from God and feasted on the world. And here we all are. Here we are. She did it. But now what's amazing is that when Jesus is tempted in the story I told you about earlier, when he's tempted in the desert three times, it's the same three temptations. You see, these three categories, all sin from Genesis to Revelation falls in there. Let's look at this. So it's the same three temptations. It says, tell the stones to become bread, cravings of the flesh. He says, then he tells him, he says, I'll show you the kingdoms of the world, and if you'll bow down, I'll give them to you. The lust of the eyes right there. And then he tells Jesus, he says, and he takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple, and he says, throw yourself off and the angels will catch you. In other words, what he's saying is do something so spectacular and put yourself in the middle of all of it, the pride of life. But because Jesus was fasting from the flesh and feasting on God, he had the victory in that situation. And maybe we would have more victory over temptation in our life if we would practice fasting from the world in order to feast on God. Are you with me on that? All right, I'm not getting on to you. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. But also, I want you to know, you can have that Starbucks and that Brahms. Some of you are saying, did he really say I can't have that? You can. It's okay. So let me show you a few verses. These are a little bit longer, but they're really important to help us catch this, okay? All right, this next scripture, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He says right here, he says that there's this big conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. And they're in conflict with one another. You cannot walk in the flesh and in the Spirit at the same time. It's just not possible. You see, the flesh is loud and it's aggressive and it's demanding and it's bossy. And then you take a look at the Spirit. The Spirit is patient and it's gentle and it's kind. And the flesh is going to always demand to have its way and to be satisfied. But the Holy Spirit, he's just going to stand idly by and he's going to say, hey, I'm here. Whenever you get interested in me, I'll be here. And I love that it says, those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, we have chosen to follow, or we've chosen to allow our flesh to be crucified. And we have to participate in what in that, okay? Now, what's interesting to me about this is that you, it's me, we're choosing our own will. You see, when Jesus, he wasn't forced to go to the cross, to the crucifixion. There wasn't any forcing in that. It was a choice of the will. And so we have that same will, and we have that same choice. Do I want to crucify so that I can be resurrected? And what's interesting about being crucified is that you don't even have enough hands to actually pull that off. I want you to notice this, okay? If I'm going to crucify my flesh completely and totally, I want you to get this. I can't do it by myself. I have to have the Holy Spirit. If we're going to crucify ourselves fully and live for Him, we have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And what that is that's a picture of this. The Holy Spirit, we're opening up ourselves to this, okay? We're saying, God, this is what I want. I want to practice denying my flesh. But to do that, I need your help. If I'm going to be totally and completely crucified to my flesh, I have to have the help. And so you see that the flesh will either be satisfied or it will be crucified. There's no in between. Your flesh, every day, it's either more satisfied or it's more crucified, every day. And we get the choice of whether or not we're feeding it or we're partnering with the Holy Spirit to crucify it. And that's why it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He's going back to the finished work of Christ there. What he's doing is he said, you're now in the Spirit. And if you actually catch it, the Spirit, okay? Let's look at the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians, it tells us that it's the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's not a work of the flesh, but it's a work of the Holy Spirit. You see, we try to do it on our own, but we need to have the help of the Holy Spirit. I can't even control the compulsions of my flesh. But what I can do is I can open myself up and I can say, I want to take off the old self and I want to put on the new self. And Holy Spirit, to do this, I need you to help me. I need you to help me do that. And here's one last one for you. It says, I humble myself with fasting. There's humility that takes place when we fast because it breaks our pride. Okay, it breaks our self-sufficiency. It breaks our self-control. And it reminds us that we're not sustained by this world, but by God himself. You still with me? All right, so what happens when you fast? When you fast, what happens? For a lot of us, the answer to that is we get hangry. You didn't see that one coming, did you? Hangry's not in the Bible, is it? But, you know, we start fasting. We start telling people, oh, I'm just angry. Like, I'm hangry because I'm fasting. No, the truth is that anger is already inside of you. Okay? And just denying yourself some food or at lunchtime, it brings it out in us, doesn't it? It brings us out. And it comes to our surface. All the resentment, the pride, the lust, the greed, the control, judgment, jealousy, edginess, resent, all of that. It comes to us and we say, oh, it's all because I'm fasting. No, it's already inside you. The fasting is just exposing it. And it shows us a reality that maybe some of us don't even want to see in our lives. And that's why it's humbling. And when you fast, you're denying your flesh. Your flesh is like this little spoiled brat, all right? It's loud, it's aggressive, it's obnoxious, and it's shouting all kinds of things to you. And I can tell you, it's going to keep screaming, and it's going to keep crying until it's either satisfied or crucified. Now, on the other hand, what happens when you deny the Spirit? When we fasting is denying the flesh, right? So fasting is denying this flesh. But what happens when we deny the Spirit? We're fasting the Spirit. I would say that you get dreary. Okay? And what is that? Dry and weary. You ever see people that deny the Spirit in their life? And even if they're a follower of Jesus, they're dreary because they're dry. They have no living waters flowing through them. And they're actually weary because they're not feasting on the bread of life. And so they get dreary. And now here's what's interesting to me. When we deny the Spirit never gets aggressive. He's patient, kind, and humble. And he's waiting, and he's whispering, and he's waiting for you to get to the end of yourself so that you can look back and see Jesus as the only source of life. So if you're waiting and you're hearing and you're catering to the louder voice, can I tell you that voice, the flesh, will always win. Because the Spirit has no need to throw himself off of the highest point of the temple to put himself in the center of something spectacular. He's waiting patiently for you to get to the end of this and to look to him. And here's what's interesting in every one of us, me included, every one of us, we're already really gifted at fasting. Do you know that? You're already really gifted at it. Because if we take a look at it, we're really good at fasting from God and feasting on this world. We're really good at that. Amen? So we already know how to do it. We already know how to fast from God. But how about we flip that? Fasting is just flipping that and denying my flesh and my cravings and saying no to the things of this world and acknowledging that I need the help of the Holy Spirit in order to feast on him. So fasting is just flipping it. And when we're fasting, what you're doing is you're saying, you're just basically making a declaration, all right? You're saying, you're declaring to your flesh, you're saying, hey, buddy, you're on notice, all right? I know you're going to be loud. I know you're going to be obnoxious. I know today's not going to be very good. It's not going to be fun at lunchtime or this evening or for a couple of days, whatever it is you're fasting. But buddy, you're on notice, and I'm no longer going to live according to the flesh, because I'm dead to you and I'm alive in Christ. And I know that you're going to be loud. I know I'm just letting you know this, body, because you've been trained to live according to the world. But I'm going to train you today. I'm starting now to train you to live by the Spirit and that is within me. And there are some things that will just never happen. Now, this is one last thing I do want to touch on. Some things will never happen without fasting in your life, okay? Let me pull all of this together for you really quick. I'm going to try to hurry up. Do you remember the story when the demon-possessed boy, the father brings him to the disciples and they couldn't heal him? They tried and they prayed and they couldn't heal him, and they were so confused. And the father, he was even discouraged and defeated, but he brought the boy to Jesus. And Jesus, in one word, heals the boy. And the disciples are like, Jesus, we did everything you taught us to do, every prayer, everything, and it didn't work. Why? And this is where Jesus says, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. In other words, there are some things that will only happen through prayer and fasting. There are some breakthroughs, some victories, some healings. There's some parts of your flesh that need to have this practice of prayer and fasting if you're going to crucify it and become all that God created us to be. And so my favorite part in that story, though, is where in the moment when Jesus is on the spot, he doesn't fast or pray. He just rebukes the demon and it's gone. So what he's really saying here is, he's saying, if you want to do the things that I did on the spot, you got to first do the things that I did behind the scenes. And Jesus is saying, I deny myself things so that I can walk in the Spirit on the spot. And you know, for you and I, we struggle walking in the Spirit on the spot because we don't practice denying our flesh behind the scenes. Now listen to me. For years, the only time I would fast is like when we would do a church-wide fast, you know, and those are great. I mean, they move us. They bring us together. I want to tell you, in this season of my life, as I'm learning this practice of fasting, and I'm not saying I'm good at it, believe me, I'm not, but I'm learning that it's so much more than just denying myself something that I want. Fasting becomes an encounter and a moment with God like you never had before. It's literally about bringing the flesh of my life and the pride, the greed, the lust, the control, all these things that I have inside of me into submission to the Spirit. Because by saying no to this food today, I can say no to my flesh tomorrow. And that's why it's worth it. That's why this practice is worth it. So here's your training plan for this week. I didn't give you one last week, but I'm going to give you a training plan this week. Just try it. Just pick one day this week where you're going to fast. Maybe it's the whole day. Maybe it's just a meal. Start wherever you're at, whatever you can do. Maybe it's just denying yourself Dr. Pepper for that day. I don't know what it is, but just pick a day. Or even, yeah, ooh, I don't know about that one. I didn't say coffee, okay? I said Dr. Pepper. So just pick a day, a time. And spend some time training behind the scenes this week. Stand with me, if you will. Let's pray. Bow your heads and close your eyes. And I've already told you we can't do it on our own. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, we just ask you right now to help each and every individual in this place. Father, I don't want to live according to the flesh. I want to live by the Spirit. So, Lord, I pray that you teach each and every one of us how to use this practice. Not to put our hope in this practice or to worship this practice, but how to use this practice to help us put this piece of your lifestyle in our lifestyle. that over this next season, as we continue to walk with you, that we'd be able to bring more of our flesh into submission to the Spirit. I pray for every person that's here today, God. May they see and experience your love and your grace and your invitation. May this not be a religious thing or information, knowledge thing, but let this be something that speaks deeply, deeply into our spirit today. By your Spirit, who gently whispers with kindness and patience and humbleness to lead us to this life of freedom. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that you've offered us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you and have a great, great week.